Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the life we have in Him. We pray today's Easter service, Results of the Resurrection, where my dad speaks of salvation, justification, anticipation, and illustration. All blessings of the resurrection will be of encouragement to you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I really want to welcome you today because it's Easter Sunday. That's the most wonderful, glorious Sunday of the whole year, Easter Sunday. And then comes Christmas in my book, but the number one is Easter because it talks about the glorious resurrection. And we're going to talk about some of the results of the resurrection, results of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. But before that, I want to read some of the letters. And we get so many nice letters. And get your pencil and paper ready because I'm going to give the address in just a minute here. Because I think you might want to write in. I got a special deal for you, and you can't pass that up. But let me read a couple, and then I'll give you the special letter. The first letter is from Polson, Montana, and they write, Dear Pastor Salem, I appreciate the lessons you give us during your worship hour. I also appreciate the fact that you stand in one place instead of roaming to and fro and back and forth as some of the younger preachers do. You also emphasize parts of Scripture without shouting, thank you for all you do. Well, now, sister, I want to tell you something. When these young guys get to be 95 years old, they won't jump around anymore. They'll stand still. And as far as shouting is concerned, well, I'll give you a little trade secret that we've got among us pastors. If you got a weak point, shout. And that helps to carry a weak point. But I don't know if there's anything to it or not, but those are rumors going around. So, but God bless the young pastors. If we don't have, we've got to have young pastors, and we need some old pastors too, so don't write us off too soon either. Now here's Brookings, South Dakota. Now this is a letter that they say, well, if they ever say anything negative, you never read it. Okay, now listen, well, listen to what I have to do. She writes out, starts just wonderful. Enclosed, please find my tithe. I think I've taught my grown-up children to tithe their income. I think they're learning to tithe. I told them it this way. God wants them to be obedient. A true tithe is 10% of your entire income. Then I told you, you cannot outgive God. I think that's when it gets in its way. It makes you humble. And then here's what she writes. Anyways, I slept through last Sunday's service. Now, why did she have to put that in? I would never have known the difference. I know when I get letters and they say, well, we're having coffee while we're watching the service. That's fine. Then I'm sitting in my lazy boy rocker while I'm watching your sermon. I know I won't have him very long. He'll be asleep before you get to first base. I know, I've been in the work too long. I don't need two-way television, I know that. But anyway, we're really happy that she believes in tithing, and God bless her. Now, here's something that I've got to make a confession. And I had a lady wrote in, and she wanted some information on crowns. The crowns we're going to receive when we meet the Lord. And I lost her address. And so I thought, well, I'll just have to tell her on one of the services. And then I thought, I wonder if maybe somebody else wouldn't like to know about the crowns. There's at least five different crowns. Crown of service, crown of life, incorruptible crown, crown of rejoicing, crown of glory. And we have scriptures for them all. So this is what you do. You write to us and just say crowns. And we'll send you this article that we have written on what are the different crowns and what are they for? And here's the address. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And so I'll give you the address again at the end of the service, but be sure to write in and we'll send you, just say crowns, and we'll send you. I think you probably enjoy it. One other letter that we have is from Vernon, Alabama. And this is a nice letter. This is from a gentleman. I recently repeated the sinner's prayer at the end of one of your programs. I'm so glad I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I love Jesus and I know he loves me. I'm 71 years old. I am a Vietnam veteran. The Lord brought me through that and I'm so thankful for that. The Lord brought me through a lot of things in the past. I love Jesus with all my heart. Thank you, Pastor Salem, for your ministry. Isn't that a beautiful letter? And I'm going to tell you what you can do. He said the sinner's prayer at the close of the service, said the sinner's prayer. You know what the sinner's prayer is? You just pray and say, Dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. And I ask you to please come into my heart and wash me in the blood of the Lamb. You don't need to get into all that. Just say, come in my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you. I'll turn from my sins. I'll serve you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. Use your own words. Forget the thee and the thous and be so proper and everything. Just talk to Jesus. He's looking at your heart. He's not so concerned about the words. He just knows if your heart is reaching out to him. And if he is, he'll enter your heart. You have eternal life. How can you beat that? Oh, I love to preach that. It's just so wonderful. Well, now this is Easter Sunday, so we want to talk about the results of the resurrection. And I just love Easter, and I'll tell you why. It's we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from Christ from the dead. And I'm going to tell you something else. And listen to this. Of all the religions of the world, the founder of every last one of them lies in a cemetery somewhere. Everyone's dead. But Jesus Christ was dead 3 days and three nights, and he was raised from the grave. And I'm going to tell you something else. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, a believer or an unbeliever, there's one thing you cannot deny, and that is the grave of Jesus was empty that first Easter Sunday morning. It's empty. And that's the glory of the Christianity. We have a risen Christ. And so because we have a risen Christ, well, what does it mean? Well, it means for one thing, we have salvation. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he made salvation possible for all of mankind. That is, it is provided. The salvation has been paid for. Your sins are paid for. But it won't do you a nickel's worth of good until you accept that salvation, accept that offer, and ask Jesus to come into your heart. If you don't do that, he died in vain so far as you're concerned, and you'll go straight to hell. You've got to have Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, and he says, the only way, John 14:6. No man comes to the Father but by me. The way to God is through a person, Jesus. Beautiful, wonderful Jesus. And so we have to have the wonderful resurrection of Christ. And so then what is this wonderful resurrection? What is this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ? Paul spells it out. He says in 1 Corinthians 15 and the first four verses, this is the gospel by which you are saved, how that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. You got to have those three elements. You have to have you have to have the Lord Jesus Christ living for us, and you have to have his dying for us. We have to have him dead, and you have to have him risen. You have to have all that goes together to make the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we have that wonderful Savior, we come to him, we just put our faith in him. And this wonderful Savior, he tells us, I'll take you to heaven. He says that there's no other name. Peter said, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's what he told the old Jewish Sanhedrin. And he was right. There's only one way to Jesus, to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And you have these people running around and they'll say, oh, yeah, there's different ways. We're all on the same path. We're all aiming for heaven. Would you ever aim at something and miss it? I used to go pheasant hunting. I missed more birds. I don't know if I hurt any of them. Didn't even scare them. I was so far off. You can aim at something and miss it. And you can aim at heaven all day or all your life long. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, you're going to miss it. That's what the Bible teaches. And Acts chapter 4, Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so because of the resurrection, we have salvation. And then because of the resurrection, we have justification. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. What does he mean? Well, Paul means this. As long as Jesus Christ was in the grave, he didn't do us any good. As long as he's in that grave, we didn't know if our sins were paid or not. Because what Jesus did, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he took upon himself all the sins of the world. And that's why he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And then with all of our sins, he went to the old rugged cross and he died to pay for those sins. But is that price enough? Did God accept that as payment for those sins? We'd never know. But when he raised him from the dead and he came back to life, we know we are justified. Our sins are paid in full and God has accepted them fully. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And if there ever comes a day when you in the slightest wonder about your justification before sins, you just think of that empty tomb. You just think of the risen Christ. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And then when the resurrection came, we knew he paid the price and it was accepted and it was stamped paid. And those sins are paid in full. And now we don't have an earthly high priest coming in for a while and then he's gone. We have this wonderful Jesus. And he saved us, and he was raised from the grave, and he's at the right hand of the throne of God, and he intercedes for us, and he prays for us all the time. And so we come to the third thing, and from this risen, we are preservation. That is our security. We are satisfied. We are settled. It is settled for sure. Hebrews 7, verse 25 says, wherefore is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. This wonderful scripture tells us salvation is begun by the atoning death of Jesus Christ. It is continued by the resurrected Jesus Christ, and he intercedes for us all the time. And this is what he does. It says we're saved unto the uttermost. That is the uttermost of sin. There can be no sin. You can sin all you want. There's no sin that God can't wash away in the blood of the Lamb. And I get letters all the time, and people have sinned, and they don't think God will forgive them. They think they committed the unpardonable sin. You can't commit the unpardonable sin if you wanted to. But the main thing they'll talk about is, I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyway. And oh, they're working, wondering about the sinning against light. And I'm going to tell you something. It's the uttermost of sin. It doesn't matter how much your sin is. It says where sin abounded, did grace much more abound. Grace is greater than all of our sins. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took all the sins of the past, the present, the future, hadn't been committed yet. As a matter of fact, when Jesus died, I hadn't committed any of my sins yet. They're all paid, and he took to the cross. And the uttermost of sin, you can't think of a sin that God won't forgive. Oh, I can think of one, and that is if you die in your sins, there's no hope. No hope. There's no more love of God for that unsaved man or woman, as the case might be. I always say men, because usually the men come dragging along. They ought to be there. They're leading the way. But God is telling us this sin, I don't care what your sin is, they're all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. And God says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He won't even remember them. So don't you remember them either. Just forget it and put it away. The uttermost of sin. But it also means the uttermost of time. The uttermost of time. That is that wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. He is there interceding for us at the throne of God. And when I sin, he's standing there for me. He's my lawyer up there. He's my advocate up there at the very throne of God. And the devil says, oh, look at what your old pastor did here at 95 years old. Look at that sin. He's coveting something, or God only knows what it is. There's a million of them. They're all over, sins everywhere you turn, it seems like. And so the devil says, now look here, that old pastor there, he sinned, sins every day, and he ought to go to hell. And Jesus Christ will say, all those sins are all paid in full, Mr. Devil, go someplace else, get out of here. Now, how long is that going to last? How long is he going to intercede for me? He's going to intercede as long as he lives. How long is Jesus Christ going to live? Forever. He has no beginning, he has no ending. He's the Ancient of Days. I'm safe and secure. And we have people running around, they think they can lose their salvation. You couldn't lose your salvation if you wanted to. Well, I say, I have this scripture, you know, it tells in John chapter 10. He says, I hold them in my hand. And then he says that I'll hold them in my hand. And then somebody says, well, what if I get out of his hand? And then I always say, you mean you're stronger than God? Where'd you come from? Where were you raised? He holds us. And the next verse, verse 29 says, God holds the Father, holds the Son's hand, and we're safe, and we have eternal life. And I'm telling you, Christian friend of mine, you just lean on the Lord Jesus Christ and remember the challenge of Paul in Romans 8, verses 33 and 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. That is, who's going to challenge any Christian before the throne of grace? And it is God is the one that justifieth. He says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that risen again, who is even at the right hand of the throne of God, who makes intercession for us. He prays for me all of the time. And I'm in this still wilderness journey, and I'm traveling through this wilderness journey, and this wonderful dear Jesus, all the way through, he's praying for me until I get to heaven and get to glory, and it'll be all settled then. But it's all settled now. And Paul says, we're just like we're seated with Christ in the heavens. We're seated there right now. We're so sure that we're right there in with him now. We have this wonderful, wonderful Lord, and we know we're safe. And then we have anticipation. He says, this wonderful resurrection tells us, I anticipate that for me. I'm going to be raised from the dead one of these bright sunny days. If I die before the Lord comes, I'm going to be raised from the grave. My mother's going to be raised. My wife, my loved friends, my dear old pastor's gone ahead. All of these, we anticipate that. We know it's going to happen. And so we're told in 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he hath given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade, kept in heaven. So Christ is living in heaven and family there, and he's standing there, and he's keeping us secure, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And then finally, he's risen, and we have the illustration of that wonderful resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is, if we should die, we die before Jesus returns, we have the guarantee of our resurrection, that when the Lord comes, the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We have an illustration of that when we see the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because as he was raised, so are we raised. And that's why Paul says, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, he says, we are of all men most miserable, because it all depends on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is a proven fact by over and over, that Jesus Christ said that tomb was empty that first Easter Sunday morning. And so this wonderful Lord tells us, and he tells us through Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14, knowing that he which raised up Jesus from the dead also shall present us with you. You see, Jesus, we're going to be raised just as sure as Jesus was raised from the dead. We're going to be raised from the dead. It's a proven fact, and it's illustrated in that wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if that spirit, the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, if that Holy Spirit dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you, because that wonderful Holy Spirit dwells within us, and that power of the Holy Spirit is the one that will raise us from the dead, the Spirit of Almighty God. You know, there are two ways that God used to show his power. In the Old Testament, if he wanted an illustration of his power, he told of how that God took Israel out of Egypt and he delivered Israel from Egypt. That was the big point that showed the power of God in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it is this biblical picture, and it is that according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, he talks about the resurrection from the dead. And that's the great power of God. And so this wonderful Savior, because he was raised, we too will be raised. I read a story about a little girl and traveling with her father, and they're staying in a hotel one night, and the little girl died in the night. And the mother was already dead, had gone on. And the next day, the father's heartbroken, but the next day he goes to the cemetery. Just two people took the body to the cemetery, the father and the minister. The man's grief was grave. And then when he got there, he had the grave, the father took from his pocket a key. And he unlocked the casket and looked on the face of his little child one more time. Then silently closed the casket and handed the key to the keeper of the cemetery. On the way back to the city, the minister quoted to the heartbroken father a Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. He quoted, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of Hades and of death." The pastor explained how the Lord Jesus, though dead, was now alive. And then the father said, "But what about the keys? What about the keys?" And the pastor says, "This is what it means." He says, "You think the key to your little girl's casket is in the hands of the keeper of the cemetery. I want to tell you, my friend, the key to your little girl's grave hangs at the side of God Almighty, God's almighty Son, and he will come some morning and he will open that casket and raise up that child." And that's the story of the resurrection. And that's the most glorious thing. She's going to live again. And it's demonstrated in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to say this. Do you have that hope? You don't have any help at all. You're of all men most miserable if you don't have Jesus Christ. You've got to have Jesus Christ. He's dead and he's alive. He demonstrated it. And you say, "Yes, I do want Jesus Christ, but I don't know how to meet him. I want to meet him. Let me introduce you to him. He's the wonderful Savior that went to the cross and died for your sins, buried and raised the third day. And then he's alive, and he ascended into heaven, and he's alive now. And all you need to do is just ask him into your heart." Jesus says in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," Jesus, "believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life." You have it the minute you accept Jesus into your heart. He says, "and hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." That is, you won't go into hell, but is passed from death unto life. You have life eternal through Jesus Christ. You say, "Yes, I want to do that." Then you just pray with me and say, "Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you the best I can and turn from those sins. And thank you, Jesus. I love you. Thank you. And I'm going to tell you something. If you prayed that prayer, Jesus Christ is in your life. You've been born again. You've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. You've had your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're joint heirs with Christ. You have it all by just simple faith. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. We'll send you some literature. And you can also send us a gift to help us with this ministry. You think it's something ought to continue, then we've got to pay our way. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. You want to send a gift over the internet? ChristianWorshipHour.com. And if you want to know if the money's used wisely, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and we account for every penny we get. So I pray, and I just pray that you'll help us in this work, and we're going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to pray today that you'll help everyone that has received you to rejoice in that salvation, and we look forward to seeing them someday in glory. And we're praying, Lord, for those who are on beds of sickness. We're thinking of those who are lonely. We think of the young people and the struggles they have. We think of those who don't know which way to turn. And then, Lord, we always pray for the persecuted church. And we're praying for the persecuted church in Syria today. And, oh, my dear God, how they are suffering. It's beyond comprehension. And you know all about it, but in your plan, you're just waiting. Maybe let somebody else come to Jesus. Give them a little more time to come to Jesus, because the day will come when time is no more and there'll be no more accepting of Jesus. It'll all be settled, all be done. Dear Heavenly Father, help them. Help them all. Help us all. In Jesus' name, amen. So we thank you for being with us. I'm going to put it on the screen again. Get our number. It's box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We're going to be looking for your letter and pray that God will provide for our needs, because we're like the dentist. We live from hand to mouth, and you pay and we'll pay our bills, and you don't pay them, then we have to make some adjustment. So it's all in God's hands. And we're just looking forward to next week now. And maybe you can tell your friends that we have this wonderful service where we look at the Word of God, and everything that we preach and everything we teach is the wonderful Word of God. The word of God that abideth forever. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. It'll abide forever. Place your faith and your soul and eternity in the hands of the wonderful God, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.